awesome, awesome Sunday to be together, everybody. We want to welcome everybody watching online. Can we welcome them this morning? Or I should say, you know, I used to say watching online, and sometimes I do, I still do, but you're actually joining us online. I'm so grateful that you're with us in spirit and heart. I know some of you watching can't be here. Maybe you're sick. Maybe you're going through a tough time. Maybe you live out of state. We're just so excited that you came and joining us in worship. Great to see everybody here in person. You guys having a good Sunday morning so far? That was kind of weak. Y'all have a good Sunday morning so far? Really, really excited to be in God's house. Today is an awesome day to be in God's house because we are going to baptize people after the second service today. We have many, many people signed up for water baptism. And what's really, really great is that some of you came to first service and you thought you were going to leave dry. But God's going to speak to your heart by the end of the message today. If you have not taken that first step towards transformation in Christ through water baptism, today is your day. Today's your day. Today's your day to go public with your faith. And that's what water baptism is all about. Water baptism is about going public with your faith and saying, Jesus, I'm going to follow you. And my first step is to get baptized. That's the very first step when you follow Jesus. Water baptism. Jesus says, come follow me. And he says, I want you to, and the sign about that you're following me is through water baptism. So you can come back. You don't have to sign up. You can stay for second service. We have clothes for you to change into. Let me encourage you. Take the plunge. Take this step. And I've never done this before, but if you want to, if you're watching in another state, different country, you know, I just checked the stats. People are watching in Pakistan. I was like, Pakistan? People are watching in Pakistan. Listen, at second service, you can get baptized in your bathtub if you want to. Just let us know. Go to your bathtub. And when I baptize people, just take the plunge. It's all about following Jesus. Really excited for that today. And I'm really excited. Today we're wrapping up the sermon series, Heart and Soul. This series has been all about the heart and soul of our church. We are not just a church. We're not a place you go to. We're a community of people that we belong to. We belong to one another. How many know that? We belong to one another. We are community. We're not just going through the motions. This is not about religion. This is about relationship. Relationship, right? This is all about relationship. So let me just encourage you to continue to come to the community of believers in relationship with one another. And this has been our mission at the church. And our mission here is simply to lead people far from God into a transforming relationship with Jesus. This is the heart and soul of our church. Heart and soul of our church. Leading people far from God into a transforming relationship with Jesus. In other words, Jesus didn't come die on the cross so that you could just be saved. He came and died on the cross so that you could have a relationship with him, so that you can know him personally and intimately. Leading people far from God into a transforming relationship with Jesus. Our vision, we talked about in week two, just a quick recap. Our vision is to encourage people in the pursuit of three relationships: intimacy with God, community within the church, and influence, which is ministry with those outside the church. This is what our vision's all about. Intimacy, community, and influence. We have been building this church on these three relationships for the past 10 years. And we believe that it's so important. This is the heart and soul of our church. So if you're new to church, if you're new to the family, the community, this is our vision, to encourage people in those three relationships. And today I want to speak to you, continue on part two in the sermon, in the message I started last week called, Is It Worth It? Last week I talked about our values, and today I want to finish that message on values, because values are so important in how you live your life. Is it worth it? And here's the passage of scripture we're going to touch on today. It says, therefore, dear friends, since you have been forewarned, be on your guard. so that you may not be carried away by the error of the lawlessness and fall from your secure position. Take a picture of that. Be on your guard. Let me say that again. Be forewarned. Be on your guard so that you may not be carried away by the error of the lawlessness and fall from your secure position. But what does Peter say? He says, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. What does Peter say? But to what? But to grow. But to grow. We are living in difficult times. We are living in times of lawlessness. We're living in times of error. We're living in crazy times, if you want to call it that. But in the midst of the difficult times, the lawless times, the crazy times, Peter says that your focus must be to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Growth doesn't happen by accident. Your spiritual growth happens with intentionality. You must be intentional to grow in maturity. You must be intentional to grow in your faith. You must put in the hard work towards your spiritual growth and maturity. And the only way that you can experience true spiritual growth in your life is if you value growth. You got to value growth. You got to value spiritual growth. You got to make it a priority in your life. It has to be part of who you are. It's got to be a part of what you do. Last week I connected values with health, and I said if we all value health, then our lifestyle will support our value. In other words, if we believe that we need to live healthy lives and we don't choose to live healthy lives every day, the belief is just a good intention. It's not a real belief. It's a good intention. It's a good idea. And this is what I've discovered about many people who follow Jesus. They want to grow in Christ. They want to grow in their faith, but they're not intentional about it. They don't have a plan. They don't live a lifestyle that supports what they value. Values dictate what you believe and how you live and what you practice. Values determine what you believe and how you live your life. I want you to think about this past week. I want you to think about the values that you practiced this past week. Because you can determine what your values are by simply reviewing your life and asking yourself these questions. What did I do with my time? Your time reflects your values. How did I live my life with my time? What did I do with my talent? How did I use my talents? How did I use my giftings? How did I use my ability? And most importantly, this is a big one, how did I spend my money? How did I spend my money? How did I use my finances? How did I spend the money that God has entrusted with me? If you evaluate your life and you look at how you're spending your life, let me ask you this question. Is it worth it? Is it worth it? And this is the problem. Many of us, many of you are building your life on values that are only important to you. Values that are important to you. Some of you value caffeine. That's why you need your coffee every day from Dunkin' Donuts. You know I have to bring in Dunkin' Donuts into my sermon every week, right? So if we look at how we spent our money and how we took care of our bodies, many of us value Dunkin' Donuts and coffee more than we value maybe our health. You say, how do you know that, Pastor? Because you just look at what you spend your time on, your treasure, and your talents. What are you spending your life on? And some of us are spending our lives on stuff that really doesn't matter. We're trying to be successful. And let me ask you this question. What is success? What are you trying to accomplish? Who are you trying to be? Because for some of us, we're on this treadmill of life trying to get somewhere, trying to be someone. And God is saying, that's really great and all, but there isn't much value to what you're doing. Much value to me, God is saying. Because God's ways are not our ways. Our ways are not His ways. Our thoughts are not His thoughts. His thoughts are not our thoughts. What do we have to do? We have to bring our lives into alignment with God's values for us. How many are with me this morning? Yeah, y'all quiet today, right? We got to bring our lives into alignment with God's values for us. And when our values reflect God's values, then we will live a godly life. We will live the kind of life God wants us to live. It comes down to values. You see, values are what we measure in life. Values are the measures that we use to tell if your life is turning out the way you want it to. And some of you are looking at your life and you're like, you know what, I'm not very successful. There's something missing. I wish I had more, because your values are not grounded in Christ or in Scripture. They're grounded in culture, or they're grounded in what other people think. And let me tell you something. God's definition of success is way different than yours. You say, how, Pastor? In what ways? Well, this is what, let me just give you one example. Jesus said this, the first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Come on, somebody. His kingdom is an upside down kingdom. This is the way we view life. Get to the top. This is the way God sees life, upside down. He didn't come to be served, He came to serve. This is His mindset. Success to you may not be success to God. So you could actually be successing and be successful in life, but yet losing in your spiritual life. You could be successful and have everything you have and everything you wanted on the exterior, but yet there's something missing in your soul. You're missing purpose. You're missing meaning. You're missing God's plan for your life. You're missing your God-given destiny. Don't enrich the grave with your potential. Don't enrich the grave with your potential, because within each and every one of you are seeds of greatness. There are seeds of potential. God wants to turn you into a transformer. God wants to use you to do great things, but that can only happen if your values line up with God's values. And some of you value material possessions more than you do eternal possessions. Some of you are valuing external things more than you are internal things. And some of you are valuing other things more important than godly things. And this is what happened. Then you wonder why your life is not turning out the way you think it should. Can I keep going? Values. Values are the basic and fundamental beliefs that guide or motivate your attitudes and actions. We all live by a set of values, and those values determine how we live, our attitude, and our actions, and our behaviors. And let me ask you this question. I said it last week. What if you're trying to build your life on the things that only have value to you, but don't have value to God? That's really important. What has value to God? What's really important in life? Because you can be successful in life, but yet losing with God. You can be successful in everything you do, but yet missing God's purpose for your life. What's value? Let's go back to the verse. But grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Spiritual growth and maturity is so important in your life. Why? Because we live in perilous times. We live in times where there's lawlessness. People are falling away. People are falling away. That's what the scripture we just read, didn't it? I should have had it again, but people are falling away. There's error. There's lawlessness. And when you're not grounded in Christ and growing in your faith, you're going to be swept away like everybody else has been. And this is what I've learned, that if you don't value growing in Christ, you're not going to grow in Christ. Can I say that again? If you don't value growing in Christ, you will not grow in Christ. If you don't value spiritual practices and disciplines, if you don't value tithing, if you don't value serving, if you don't value giving, if you don't value community, if you don't value the church, if you don't value the things of God, you're not going to grow in God. Can I just state the obvious? It doesn't just happen. It happens through spiritual practices that we give ourselves to, in which we open ourselves up to the transforming work of Christ. We've got to value what God values. And God values spiritual growth. He wants us to grow in the grace and knowledge of His Son, Jesus. He wants to grow in God. He wants us to become who He's called us to become. He wants us to do what He's called us to do. But that takes intentionality. It doesn't happen by accident. It happens when you give yourself fully to what God wants for you to do. And listen, His values are not your values. Our ways are not His ways. His ways are not ours, right? We've got to find what those values are. So here in the church, we have a set of values that I believe set the foundation for how we do ministry, but also these values are useless unless the people of God practice these values. You say, Pastor, how do I grow? Where do I begin? What do I do? And we're going to start with just the last week. I'm going to go through these quickly. I don't have a lot of time. We went through these last week, but let's just go. Let me go back. I got it. Honor. We honor God by honoring our pastor and one another. How many believe that? Yes. Honor begins in God's house. Honor begins in your home. Honor is an important principle that releases the blessing of God in your life. If you want to grow in Christ, if you want to become who God's called you to be, you've got to learn the principle of honor. Honoring our civil leaders, honoring our government leaders, honoring one another, honoring those that we lead. Honor releases the blessing. There's great reward for those that honor. And guess what? That's what transform groups are all about. If you value community and if you value spiritual growth, then you're going to make time for transform groups. Can I just speak to you the way I should as your pastor? And the reason why some of you say, I don't have time for things of God or things to do, I don't have time to pray, I don't have to, it's because you don't value. I love you. Don't you know I love you? Can I just speak the truth though? Because you do what you do what you really want to do. You find the time to do what you think is important. Come on now. You say, how do you know? Well, y'all went to sleep last night, right? Y'all, how many value sleep? How many would say, I didn't have time to sleep. All right, how many had breakfast? How many would say, I didn't have time for breakfast, maybe one or two, but then you're going to eat after this, right? Or maybe go to the cafe. Honor God by honoring one another. Honor is going to release the blessing over your life. We talked about last week hospitality. We are hospitable to Jesus when we are hospitable to others. The scripture we read last week is, we don't know if we're entertaining an angel. In other words, we don't know if we're entertaining Jesus when we're hospitable to others. Hospitality. Excellence. Excellence honors God and inspires people. This is how we build our church, with excellence. We endeavor to be excellent in everything we do. This was all last week. Integrity. Integrity be demonstrated in everything we do. Can you imagine your life marked with integrity? How would that change your life? That, my friends, is so important. Integrity. And then this last one last week is servanthood. We are most like Jesus when we serve others. Is that good? We are most like Jesus when we serve others. We don't have to do this. We get to do this. And we reflect the heart of Christ when we serve. When we serve. So our values, the last week we talked about honor, hospitality, excellence, integrity, servanthood. This week we're going to talk about community. Community. Life change happens incrementally over time with community. How many know you need one another? You need each other. When you think of the word community, what comes to mind? A backyard Bible study? Or a time where you're sitting in the church with your Bibles off and sipping coffee and just going over the scriptures? Or maybe what comes to mind is a bad church experience. There's a lot of people with church hurt And a lot of that is self-inflicted. Some of it is inflicted by the church, and it's real. It happens. It's part of life. And when you think of community, like, oh, no, I'm not going back to that small group. I'm not doing small group again because this is what I experienced in your life. And I'm sorry if that happened to you, but life hurts. Things happen. The problem with the church is this. It's people. Oh, boy. If you're looking for the perfect church, then look for a church that doesn't have people on Sunday mornings. And you, the moment you walk in, though, you're going to screw it up because you just walked in there. You know what I mean? Like, just leave it. Like, go to a church with no people. That's a perfect church. Yeah. The sermon was amazing because nobody preached. The worship was fire because no one sang. And the small group was just, oh, yeah, no one was in it. What an amazing Sunday. But unfortunately, it's not like that. It's called community. It's a body of believers. We're together, and we're going to rub each other. We're going to challenge each other. We're sometimes going to say the wrong things. But this is what I believe. Life change happens, Scripture teaches, incrementally over time with others. And this is the problem people make when it comes to community life, is that they make it about themselves. This is the problem. Community fails when we make it primarily about us, our needs, our wants, our desires is about me. But that's not what community is. Community, you're not joining a transform group just for you. You're not coming to church on Sundays for you. This is a definition of biblical community. It's about the transforming presence of Jesus working in and through us as we journey together with others who have the same desires. That, my friend, is biblical community. People gathered together. Listen, experiencing God's presence, transforming presence, working in and through us as we journey together. We're a community. We're on a journey. We're all learning how to do life. We're all learning about our faith. None of us have arrived. We are all whipped. Work in progress. How many are whipped here today? We're all whipped, worked in progress, right? That's all of us. None of us will arrive to perfection until we see our Savior. So we are in this together, and sometimes we need one another, and sometimes others need you. And this is what I would say about the church. We don't need you as the church. You need us more than we need you. How many know that? You need the church more than the church needs you. Sometimes we think, oh, the church wants from us. The church, no. You need us more than we need you. Why? Because this is a place where we practice community, where we're growing together. This is your tribe, yo. This is your tribe. Look around. These are your people. These are your people. This is it. First service, this is it. You come second service, that's the rest of them, right? And online is the rest of them. But these are your people. This is your body. This is your community. Isn't that awesome? Look around. I love it. Let that sink in. This is your tribe. And I love, we're going to coin that phrase. My wife said it a few weeks ago, TC tribe. This is your tribe. We belong. Are we perfect? No. Do we have it all together? Do I prefer things be done different ways? I'm sure. Do you wish that we had others? Yeah, sure, but this is where you're at. This is where God's called you, and this is where we're going to do life together, and we're going to journey together, and we're going to laugh together, we're going to cry together, we're going to pray together, we're going to trust God together, we're just going to be together in community, and that pleases God, and that's how we grow. That's how we learn. That's how we become transformed. That's how we grow in Christ, by simply coming together. Look at what Hebrews says. It says, don't give up meeting together. And this is not a plug-in, come back to church, because if you're watching from home, you're not a true Christian. And that's not true necessarily. But what there is value in is when God's people come together. There's value. Why? Because encourage one another. All the more as you see the day approaching. I don't know about you, but the day is approaching. What is he talking about? The return of Christ. How many know that Jesus is coming soon? Like, it's coming soon. More than ever that I've ever seen in my life. We don't have a lot of time left, so what does Scripture say? don't give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. What is this habit of doing? Meeting together. Why? Because they don't value. People don't value meeting together anymore. And this is not just a COVID problem. This was a prior COVID problem. This is years and years of people not valuing meeting together. But there's great value in meeting together. How many know that? And when you value this, you're going to experience the blessing of it. What? Like, that's what happens. I can remember my dad was a part of this church when I was growing up. I was a teenager, and he worked in Yonkers, and he worked on Sundays. He was a supervisor at Delwood Dairies. I don't know if you guys remember the milk company that provided the milk for New York City, Delwood. And he had to work Sunday mornings, and during this particular time, there was Sunday night service. So my dad would go to church on Sunday go to work on Sunday morning, 5 a.m., commute to the city, come back, and he would stop at McDonald's in Chester. Y'all know that McDonald's, right? Right in Chester, I think it is, with his cheeseburger. And then he would come to church at 6 p.m., and he would sit right in this area, right there. That's where my dad sat. Yeah. Years. My dad served the church. My dad demonstrated to me, gave me an example of what it means to value God's house, to value his relationship with Jesus. He never knew he was doing it. He would be exhausted. He would be tired. And he'd just roll in here and sit down. And my dad would always say, I would come in tired, but leave refreshed. I would come in exhausted, but leave encouraged. That's what he would tell me all the time. That's what he did. I saw that for years. Valued. He valued community. Don't give up meeting together. You need this. We need this. If you think it's important, you're going to make time for it. How many know that? And I'm not trying to be negative to the people that don't, but I just want to be your pastor and just tell you that I love you. And it's so important because we've got to get together. And if we can't meet in person, we're going to gather online. Come on, online church. Come on, online church. Come on, online church. Make some noise, online church. We're going to gather online. We're going to gather in person. We are going to gather because we value gathering. Second, the next value we want to talk about that we've built this church on is this one, diversity. I am so stinking proud to pastor this church because we are a multi-ethnic, multicultural, multi-generational church. I'll put our church up to any church in the Northeast. What you see here is special. It is beautiful. It is wonderful. And this church will be built on diversity. What does that mean? We will embrace people who are different than us, who look different than us, who appear different than us, who come from a different socioeconomic background, who come from a different financial background, who vote differently than us. Come on, somebody. While the world is out there trying to figure out how to bring the country together, the church has already figured it out, and it's Jesus. Jesus is the one that brings us together. Jesus is the one that unifies us. Jesus is the one. Come on, church. But you know the reality is that Sunday morning can be one of the most segregated days of the week because people don't value diversity. They want to go to a place where people look like them. I've heard it in our church over the years. People come in and they go, oh, there's a lot of diverse people here. Y'all wait until you see heaven, what heaven's going to look like. Like, this ain't nothing. This is only like maybe 10 different ethnicities. In Revelation chapter 7, verse 9, John had a vision, and he saw the throne, and he says, there I saw the Lord high and lifted up. And then he said, right before the throne, there were people from every language, every country, every tribe, every ethnicity. They were there before the throne, waving palm branches in their hand, crying out, salvation belongs to the Lord. That's what heaven's going to be like. There is no black church, white church, red church, Latino church, ethnic church, Assemblies of God, Baptist, Pentecost, whatever. There is no. There's only one church. Jesus died for everyone. And that's what we're going to embrace here. We are going to be diverse, and we're not going to say we're diverse and not be diverse in our leadership. Yes. Because there's a lot of people who say, oh, I believe in multi-ethnic, I believe in diversity. We must have a diverse America, but their whole leadership team is... Well, I don't have a mic. Well, I got to drop one somewhere. Am I right? Like, come on. So, like, oh, we value, yes, we have people. We must have people of different colors and races. And oh, yes, you do, you should. But then why is it that everyone in charge? Not this church. We have people of different races, different backgrounds. Come on, we have women pastors. Come on, somebody. We have women pastors, different genders. I don't want to go to a church where only men pastor that church. It's not balanced. It's a mess. We need women leaders. We need women pastors. We need women to step up. Come on, somebody, right? Can we just, like, be honest? We need people of different cultures, and this is what happened. They enrich our lives. They make us better. We need to embrace people's otherness. Otherness. And this is not normal, because when you're different than me, I'm going to be like, whoa, you're different than me. I don't know if I can connect with you. And that's not what Jesus wants. Jesus wants us to embrace each other's otherness and say, you're different than me. In other words, I need you. Because I grow with people who are different than me. Come on. I'm preaching better than you're saying. I grow. You're not going to grow when people are just like you. I'm just saying. I mean, you'll have a nice little barbecue, but you're going to grow when people are different than you, not just ethnically, background, whatever, but also with their faith. People, we need to be involved with and connected with people who don't know God. So this church is a church where everyone can begin their journey. You don't need a spiritual resume to come to Transformation Church. You can come a mess. You can come with all your baggage and all your stuff. And this is what we're going to do. We're going to do what, church? Lead people. We're going to lead you into a transforming relationship with Jesus. We believe Jesus can change your life, not me. The church can't change your life. Jesus can. Jesus has. Jesus will. He's the ultimate transformer, right? Jesus. All right. Diversity. How many love this one? I love this one. Diversity. We're going to be diverse. Oh, wait. Verse. Jesus said, go and make disciples of just one nation. All nations. That's our vision, our mission. We're reaching everybody. We want to reach everybody. I hope to launch a Spanish service later on down the line, because Middletown's being flooded with first generation immigrants that speak only Spanish. Have you noticed that? We just need to embrace people of all races and backgrounds and say, Lord, how can we go into the world and make disciples of all nations? That means also the next value is outward focus. We're passionate about evangelism. We're passionate about telling others about Christ. We're passionate about sharing our faith. Think about if you took on this value. You say you follow Jesus, you love Jesus, but are you passionate about sharing your faith? Are you passionate about inviting people to church? Are you passionate about just building relationships with people who are far from God? Is that part of your thinking? Is that part of your psyche? Is it part of your nature? Because God wants you to reach people who are far from God. God wants us to be a church that's outward focused. Look at this in John 4:35. Don't you have a saying, it's still 4 months until the harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. What? They are ripe for harvest. It's harvest time. It's harvest time, church. It's now. Now is the time. There isn't a lot of time left. We got to be about the Father's business. And this is, at our church, we have a saying, and this is our saying. We will do anything short of sin to reach people for Christ. Anything short of sin. That means we're going to do trunk or treat on Halloween. Because how many know it's not a sin to give out candy on Halloween? Like, how many know that's not a sin? Like, it's not on, you know, it's what God has called us to do, be light and darkness. We're going to look at for ways to reach people for Christ, because Jesus reached us. A couple more and we'll be done. Generosity. God is generous to us, so we will be generous to others. Do you know that you attend a generous church? Have you felt that? Have you felt that? I hope you have. I hope you felt the generosity and the love. And how many know that that's just a reflection of God's heart? Imagine what your life will look like if you practice generosity. Because you best reflect God when you're generous to others, because God so loved the world that he what? Gave his only begotten son. And some of you are not experiencing the blessed life because you haven't learned to give. Look at what Jesus says. It's more blessed to give than to receive. Some of you are missing because you value possessions more than you value generosity. What if today you flip the script and valued generosity? What? Think about that. What if you value generosity and said, I'm going to live my life as a generous person? Not only am I going to trust God with my tithes and offerings, but I'm going to be generous to people. I'm going to be generous to my church. I'm going to be generous to others. One thing I did a few years ago, is that not only do Ruth, my wife, and I tithe 10%, above 10% of our income, I put out a little amount every week called Generosity Fund. And I put it aside every week, and I look for ways to be generous to others. Generosity Fund. We reflect the character and heart of Christ because we value generosity. Because Jesus gave, we gave. We give. Amen? Yeah. Generosity is what marks our church. We're going to continue to love our city. We're going to continue to try to reach people far. We're going to continue to give away backpacks. We're going to try to reach people. We're going to try to help people. We're going to do our best. But this church cannot be generous unless God's people are generous. You hear what I'm saying? It's not me and the church. It's not the leadership and us. No, we are the community of believers that come together and exercise generosity. When we're generous to God, God is generous to us. And how many know, let me go back, God is generous to us, so we will be generous to others. God has been generous to us. And this last one as we close is transformation. Isn't that pretty easy? Transformation. Our main pursuit in life is to be transformed by God for the world. We value transformation. We value change. We value growing in Christ. We want to be changed. We want to be transformed. That's why this is here, because this is the first step towards transformation. This is the first step towards becoming a follower of Jesus. We believe that God has us all on a transforming process. The team can come up. We believe that God wants us all to be transformed and to be like his son Jesus. So that value is our value, but that value also should be your value. Am I right? Because if that's your value, transformation, then what are you going to do? You're going to intentionally make some small decisions that have a big difference. How many remember that sermon, right? Small decisions that make a big difference. Small decisions that make a big difference. I'm going to value my relationship with Jesus. Therefore, I'm going to spend time with Jesus. I'm going to open myself up to the transforming work of Jesus. I'm going to learn how to have silence and solitude with Jesus on a daily basis. Come on, somebody. I'm going to learn how to sit with Jesus. I'm going to learn how to be. I'm going to learn to read the scriptures. I'm going to do devotionals. We have Right Now Media. We have Bible app. We have so many resources, unlimited Pandora, unlimited music. I'm going to build a relationship for myself. And then because transformation is important, and I know transformation happens in community, I'm going to value community. I'm going to value my community, and I'm going to journey together with other followers of Jesus. And then because I know transformation is part of my life, I'm going to give, because it's better to give than to receive. And giving changes my heart. Giving changes my life. Giving makes me more like Jesus. And because I value transformation, I'm going to serve. I'm going to serve others the way Jesus served others. I'm going to be like Jesus and serve. And because transformation is what I value, then I'm going to do things with excellence. I'm going to do things with excellence. I'm going to honor God. I'm going to do everything. Listen, this last one, it says, spiritual transformation is the process by which Christ is formed in us for the glory of God, for the abundance of our own lives, and for the what? Sake of others. Why do we become transformed? So we can be happy, so that we can be better. No, we are transformed for the sake of others. And this last slide, these are our values. This is what we believe. This is what we're building our lives on. This is what we're building our church on. And because we value transformation, we're going to honor God. We're going to, by honoring others, we're going to be hospitable, and we're going to be excellent, and we're going to practice integrity, and we're going to be servants, and we're going to do this in community, and we're going to embrace diversity, and we're going to be outward focused, and we're going to be generous. That, my friends, is this house. That is the heart and soul of this house. That is the heart and soul of your pastors. And if you don't have an alignment with any of these values, I say pray that God will give you a heart for these values. Because the moment we adapt these values in our lives and live by these values, let me tell you, God is going to bless this house. God's going to bless your house. God's going to bless your church. You're going to grow. You're going to become like Jesus. You're going to be transformed by his power and his grace. So let me encourage you. Let us be a people of values, that live with values and honor God with our values. Amen?